Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
In this March 23rd episode of the podcast, we go to your football history headlines and see the start of a new league, and a couple birthdays are celebrated of some early pioneers in professional football. It's all coming up in just a moment. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're podcasting from the Pigpen in Western Pennsylvania to bring you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
I closed the trunk of my car that autumn day in the early 1990s, and I stepped back away from the car, checked everything I had on. I had my hat, my shirt, the knickers were on, my cleats were on, I had beanbags, flags, whistles. I was ready to go, down markers. And I stepped away, I looked down the ways a little bit, and I had a quiet confidence in myself because I knew I was working with a very experienced official who had been doing the officiating gig for decades. I had only been doing it for a year or two, but I was dependent upon the veteran officials that I would work with because they would just carry me through with their experience, and all I had to do was just, you know, work my game and try to do my best, and they would be able to cover up any errors that I would have or explain things away to get the coaches off my back. And it was just a comforting feeling. So I looked down the parking lot and I saw another trunk up and some friendly stripes there. And I saw it was my friend Don, who I'd be working a game with. Like I said, he'd been a veteran official, many decades of doing officiating football. So I walked down and Don was getting his gear ready, and we sat there and just did some small chat and everything, and Don was about ready to go. And he was backing away from his car, going to close his trunk. And I looked down and I said, "Don, you have your slippers on." He had some brown house slippers. I'll never forget them. They were just slip-on slippers and no backs to them. And Don looked at me and said, "Oh, my goodness, thank God you told me that. These are so comfortable. I forgot to even change my shoes." Well, he looked in his trunk. And then he looked again, and he got a little frantic and started moving and shuffling some things around in his trunk. He opened up his car doors, looked inside his cars, and I sensed that something was definitely a matter. And I told Don, I said, "What's the matter, Don?" He's like, I think I forgot my cleats." You know, we were going to go onto a grass field that afternoon and do a 7th and 8th grade football game, which is a two-man game at that time. And Don said, he goes, "I don't know what to do. I don't have my cleats with me." He goes, "We're going to go out here and we're going to do this game." He was a little bit embarrassed, and we went to the trainer on the sideline. He got some athletic tape and white taped these brown slippers to his feet so they wouldn't come flying off on the grass field. And it had rained a couple days before, so it was a little bit damp out there. And we go out for the coin toss, and we introduce ourselves to the coaches. We had the coaches come out with the captains. And before we get out there, the one coach of the visiting team calls us over to the side and says, "Hey guys, you know, we got a quarterback that's very promising, and we decided we're going to throw the ball a lot today. We just wanted to let you guys know that." So the coach walks away from us, and Don and I look at each other. And for an official, when there's a passing game, that means there's a lot more movement and a lot more running. You have a lot more field to cover. And when it's a two-man game, it's really difficult. And probably had our scheduler known it was going to be a passing game, he probably would have put a third official on the game. But Don looked at me and said, "We're going to be fine, kid." He goes, "But I'm not going to be able to move around a little bit. I'm a little older than you. And I've got slippers on my feet with no traction on them. So please just do what you can." So I said, "Oh my gosh." And the butterflies started churning a little bit because now I could not be dependent on Don. He was dependent on me to help this game flow go. And, you know, we had his wisdom and he could still do the thinking and signaling and, you know, get me out of trouble. But it was a lot of work on my part to, he was now depending on me. And I had never had that happen before in a football field. So the butterflies were churning, you know, like they once were when I was first starting out. And we did a game, and this team passed the ball almost every single play. And he was right, that quarterback had a live arm, and they would throw passes and run for touchdowns or throw incomplete passes, and the ball would skip down the field. And I'll tell you what, I was tired at the end of that game, but at the end of it, I looked at my friend Don's eyes, and we were chuckled about it. We, you know, Don's no longer with us, but for years and years, we laughed about this, of him forgetting those slippers. But I'll never forget when he looked in my eyes after that game and said, you know what, you did a great job. He goes, I really had to count on you, and you really came through, and I appreciate it. And the confidence that that gave me for the rest of my officiating career and a lot of other things I did in life was just so vitally important. And I thank that opportunity happened. It's really funny is to look back at it and think of it in that humorous way, but I really am thankful that it happened, and it was a blessing, and I'm so very thankful that I was able to share that moment with my now dear departed friend Don. A big lesson I learned from that is to try new things. Always embrace that moment that you're given. And sometimes things are going to work out great, sometimes they might not, but you're always going to learn from it. And that's some things that we can take into our football history headlines today for this March 23rd. Now let's go to those headlines. March 23rd, 1991. The first World League of American Football games commenced with three opening day games. The London Monarchs, who eventually were champs in the league's inaugural season, ruled the Frankfurt Galaxy team that day, coached by John Elway's father, Jack, in a 24-11 win for the Monarchs. The Sacramento Surge was the next game, and they overcame the Raleigh-Durham Skyhawks, coached by Roman Gabriel. 9-3 was that score. And the final game of that day was the Montreal Machine, extinguished the Birmingham Fire team, coached by Chan Gailey, 20-5. March 23rd, 1886 is a birthday we have from Hales Mill, Virginia. Nathan Daugherty, the great University of Tennessee guard from 1906 to 1909 season, arrived into the world. Nathan was a man of considerable size that era, as he stood 6'2" tall and weighed 185 pounds. According to his bio on the footballfoundation.org website, therefore his peers referred to him as Biggin. Daugherty was a pretty smart player too, as he graduated Tennessee with honors and even earned a couple of additional degrees when he later educated others at both Cornell and George Washington universities. The College Football Hall of Fame gathered the data and stats of Nathan Daugherty to set in a place of honor in their museum in 1967. March 23rd, 1923, Rhine, Saskatchewan. The speedy giant of a pro football player, defensive tackle, Arnie Weinmeister was born. The Pro Football Hall of Fame's bio on Arnie starts off by saying that Weinmeister captivated the crowds of the All-America Football Conference and the National Football League by his dominating performances in the Big Apple, playing for the AAFC's New York Yankees at first, and later with the New York Giants in the NFL. He was quick off the snap and would give fits to opposing blockers assigned to nullify him during plays. Arnie won second-team All-AAFC as a rookie, followed by first-team All-AAFC honors in 1949, and then he was a unanimous All-NFL choice all 4 years with the Giants. He also was selected to play in the NFL's Pro Bowl each of his first 4 years in the NFL. Arnie Weinmeister in 1984 was enshrined by the Pro Football Hall of Fame in their museum in Canton, Ohio. Those are just some great individual players that have played in the NFL, and we celebrate their birthdays here because they're some great early era football. And the World League of American Football was also a great league. It turned into NFL Europe, as we saw, and it's a shame that that league didn't last, because there was a lot of good players that came out of that league and ended up playing NFL careers. And hopefully maybe the NFL can adopt that again someday. because that was just a great league for learning and cultivating young players, and especially quarterbacks that came out of there. Speaking of things that are coming out on this March 23rd, we have a bonus edition of the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, and we have our football by numbers, and it's the number 20 today, and we have a great guest. We have Arnie Chapman, the football history dude from the Sports History Network, going to join us for the number 20s, and it is a very big episode, and I hope you listen to it, and I hope you enjoy it, because we're having a blast doing it, and you'll see just by the fun that Arnie and I had in our discussion. It's dropped, you know, a minute after this one did, so make sure you get, as soon as you get done with this episode, go right on over there and hit your podcast player and find that Football by Numbers number 20 with Arnie Chapman on it. Yeah, I think you'll be glad that you did, because it is a good one, and you're going to enjoy it. As we always say, go and visit us at the Sports HistoryNetwork.com. Arnie Chapman has his podcast on there. He's the one that started the whole thing. And we have 20 other podcasts hosts that are on there also. And they all bring something different to you, something exciting for the history of the games that we love to watch. Because Sports History Network, it wants to be the headquarters of sports yesteryear, and it's doing a great job of it. So make sure you check that out. You can also go to our website, pigskindispatch.com/podcast. You'll see all of our podcasts there. If you want to read any of our blogs, go to pigskindispatch.com and use that powerful search engine we have, you know, powered by Earl to Go. My friend Bill has developed that, and it is just a wonderful thing. Anything you want to know related to the game of American football, do it on pigskindispatch.com's search box, and you're powered by Earl to Go, and it'll take you everywhere. A lot of our partners on Sports History Network, it'll take you to their sites, take you to their podcasts. Just a great tool. We hope that we can have you, make you find everything you want to do for football with that. And with that in mind, everybody, we hope you have a great day. And as a matter of fact, have a great gridiron day. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck, because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Arnie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.